The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Today, following this show, Ben Standig is in for Chris Russell. He'll be hosting 1-4. He's got Nikki Javala on the show. He's got Steve Wino on the show. He's got Fred Katz to talk NBA playoffs on the show. So stay tuned. 1-4 today, right here on the Team 980. Ben Standig sitting in for one Christopher Rooster Russell. So your thoughts on the schedule? I haven't talked to you since it came out. Ben?
Ben's currently he's getting set in the chair. We just got in the room. We're getting all set up. He's grabbing his headphones now. I had to turn off the I turned the speaker down because he wanted to make sure that
a little bit of chop today on the show. Well, everybody's still breathing.
It's true.
Everybody's still breathing. Nobody's dying.
Yeah.
Not yet anyway.
We're moving along like that guy sailing from Oregon to Hawaii. I don't know if you've seen that guy at all.
He's basically cashed out his 401k and just set a sail. Seems like a good idea. One of these days, maybe. Although that wouldn't be my preference to get on a boat.
No, for sure not.
Do we have him now?
We're still trying to work on headphones.
Okay. All right. Yeah, sometimes at a radio station, headphones aren't available. That happens every once in a while. Can I get some headphones? Seems like there should be four or five pairs just sitting around for people to come in and sit in studio. Not always the case.
Fortunately, we have one sitting right behind me. So he's putting them on now, getting them plugged in. We should be just getting ready to go. He's searching for the jack. Do I need to help him find the jack? He's looking.
Okay.
It might be under the desk.
We don't need play-by-play. Just into my ear, tell me he's ready.
All right,
tonight, by the way, in Game 6 between the Celtics and the Knicks at the Garden, I've already talked about the outrageous prices to get into the arena. This will be Super Bowl-level aftermarket ticket prices. But the Celtics tonight are a 2.5-point underdog. It's just the third time in their last 50 playoff games that they're not favored. That's crazy. They were a 2.5-point dog last year in Game 3 in the NBA Finals. And in Game 4 at Miami in 2023, they were a dog at Miami. Boston won both of those games outright. But still, I mean, you know, 50-plus playoff games, you know, takes into consideration, I don't know, probably 18, 36, probably 2.5 to 3 years of playoff games. You play a lot of those games on the road. And they've been favored still in most of them. I don't like a side tonight in the game. It would not surprise me if Boston wins. But I said this earlier. I'm not one of those that believes that if Boston wins tonight, the series is over. I don't think the Knicks have to win tonight. They've already won twice in Boston. And coming back from 3-1 down is a tough chore. So if the Knicks lose tonight, wouldn't surprise me if they do. I'd still give them a chance in Game 7. All right, Ben, is he ready? Do we have Ben ready? Okay, we're going to just put him on the phone because we can't hook him up in a radio studio. Let's make sure he's ready to go at 1 o'clock. That's for sure. Sounds like we have you finally.
I am here. Apologies.
That's okay.
This is what happens when you have a print guide talking.
You just can't find a pair of headphones that work?
There's a lot going on here, Kevin. Look, this is what happens when you put a print guy in a studio. But we'll be good for 1 o'clock. Me filling in for Russell, we'll be good by then. This moment, a little goofy. This is like preseason. This is like just like a joint practice. We got to work out the kinks.
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's get them worked out before 1 o'clock because everybody will be tuned in. Ben Standig's joining me. Ben will be in for Russell at 1 o'clock here on the Team 980 today, 1-4. Ben, of course, writes for The Athletic. He's got a podcast called Last Man Standig, and you can follow Ben on X on Twitter at Ben Standig. So what did you think of the schedule?
Yeah, I mean, look, we already obviously, of course, knew the opponents, and now it's just a matter of the order, but I think, you know, like, you probably already went through this when you were doing your mock schedule, and I hadn't done it. So when you see it laid out, you know, it just reminds you how much more challenging it is going to be this year. I think just in general, they need to start out strong, because it's pretty clear that on paper, the quote-unquote easiest part of their schedule is that first 7 weeks, really the first, like, 3 or 4 weeks. Other than, like, the Green Bay game, they mostly are playing against teams that didn't make the playoffs last year, so you've got to take advantage of that. But when you get, like, weeks 4 through 8, 4 of those 5 games are on the road, including Dallas, Kansas City, back-to-back at the end of it. And then, you know, that's also where the gauntlet of these national TV games start. So, and you know, before we even get to the end of the season, right, before we even get to the 4 consecutive games to close the year against division foes, they are, you know, you got to hold your business. You got to do what you got to do early on for those games to even matter. So it's going to be tough. Again, we knew it would be regardless. It's just that now we see it, and we see the order. And I heard you earlier talking about the rest situation, the fact that they have 4 games against teams coming off a bye. One of those, the game against Denver, they have the same bye. But, you know, they're not going to win the rest battle in that regard. So, you know, a lot of things went their way right last year. This year, it's, you know, off the bat, some more challenges to deal with.
Yeah, I think this is always one of the – Warren Sharp does much of the legwork on this, and he put out his results early this morning. Washington's got the 3rd-worst net rest number in the league. And, by the way, many of the NFC contenders, including Detroit, the Rams, the 49ers, the Eagles, if you want to throw the Cowboys in there, you don't have to – all have positive net rest day advantages. Washington has the second worst in the NFC behind New Orleans. And this has been an actual study and number that has equated to, you know, performance over the course of a season, much more so than, say, travel does. So it is interesting to look at it. The 49ers had the worst net rest disadvantage ever recorded by Sharp study last year, and they had a disastrous season. Detroit had the best. Baltimore had the best last year, and they had a very good season. So, yeah, it's interesting the way that works out. Not to mention just the teams that they're playing are more likely than not. You don't know that today because you don't know what it'll look like when we get there. But they look better, and to your point, and I've been making this as well, they just are playing teams that have better offenses and better quarterbacks than they had last year. So to me, it comes down, Ben, now that we've got the schedule, now that we've got most of the offseason completed, to me, the number one area of mystery is the defense, and it will be the difference between 9 or 10 wins and maybe 11 or 12 or 13 in a legitimate chance to go to the Super Bowl. Do you agree with that?
I love how now the range is not even under 500. Which
it shouldn't
is,
be
right
with
there,
this offense.
I'm with you. I'm just saying, you know, that's, you know, you mentioned San Francisco, right? A team that was obviously, you know, viewed as arguably the best team in the conference, and then they just went belly up for a variety of reasons. But yeah, no. Look, I agree. The defense is the question. I mean, offensively, we get it. They add, you know, 2 offensive tackles and Deebo Samuel. You know, that alone is a pretty strong. Those are pretty strong additions to a group that was already, you know, one of the highest scoring teams in the league. And Jaden Daniels, you know, should be only ascending. The defense, you know, it feels like the moves that they made, especially on the defensive line, are more on the margins. You know, guys like Dietrich Wise should help. Javon Kinlaw should help in terms of the run game. But, you know, they don't have an obvious pass rusher coming off the defensive end. I mean, I'm not counting Frankie Louvu in there. You know, but we'll see. I mean, nobody saw Dante Fowler doing what he did last year. Nobody saw a lot of what happened with this team positively last year. But, yeah, the defense is definitely a bit of a mystery. And then, you know, it's, look, the intangibles, you can't, you know, it's impossible to quantify what that means, but when you win five games in a row late in the year on the last play from scrimmage, when you have the Hail Mary, when you're pretty healthy for most of the year, like, you can't predict those things are going to happen. You can't assume that they will positively happen, But that, you know, that's the other variable. But the defense one is the tangible one for sure.
Yeah, you also can't say, oh, there's a regression to the mean. I hear that all the time with people on the air talking about sports. They clearly never took stats and probability 101. But beyond that, you know, it seems unlikely that they'll win five games in walk-off fashion, but maybe those five this coming season will be double-digit wins. You know, to assume that, well, they're not going to win five walk-off games, so they're going to end up with a worse record doesn't make any sense if you believe that this team is potentially better next year. They could win several of those games without sweating it if the defense improves or if the offense is even better than it was last year.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, this is analogous to some of what we see in the NBA when the Knicks get the Celtics late in a close game. That's when they're moxie has prevailed, but Boston, you know, blew them out in game five. I think it's sort of the same thing with OKC and Denver a little bit. Denver's got more experience, OKC, but has the better overall talent. So yeah, it doesn't always have to come down to the end. It's just that we know in the NFL, typically that is how it comes down. It is typically, you know, one possession games or one score games, or, you know, one possession, you know what I mean? One score games. So, yeah, I mean, that's the question. Look, I think, This is the great thing of having a guy like Jaden Daniels is that we can go through all the different scenarios, right? But if you have that guy, that is what lifts you up. I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs offense last year was not very impressive. And yet, right, because you have Mahomes, you always have a guy who can make the plays and pull you out of the fire. And that's what they have in Jaden Daniels. So, you know, yeah, I mean, that's the point. It isn't just to put up 300 yards. It's to offset your negatives, and you know, if he continues to ascend, he should be doing that, you know, for years to come.
What's your favorite part of the schedule, and then what do you view as the most difficult part of the schedule, at least as of today?
Well, I mean, the most difficult part, you know, maybe this is a little bit long, but like that, you know, sort of on the road at Dallas, Kansas City, and then you get into Seattle here on a Sunday night, and then on my right is Detroit, and then Miami, yep, and Madrid.
Right.
Like, you know, not that, I mean, Dallas and Miami are not necessarily heavyweights, but, you know, both of those games, one's on the road, one's in a different place, and then all those other teams, you know, Seattle didn't make the playoff, but they were like the next team out. You know, that is a really tough stretch, and then going into the, you know, that's going into the bye week. So, you know, I feel like that, like, if assuming that they can come out of it, but say at a minimum 4-3 through week 7, you know, that next stretch there probably determines whether they have a winning record going into the bye or not, or, you know, or better than a winning record. So I think that part to me is the real challenge. And I don't know if it's my favorite part, and I actually don't even, I think I heard you talk about this. I don't love at all the Eagles, facing the Eagles, not until week 16 and then twice in 3 weeks. I don't like, yeah, that at all. But if it does come down where, you know, the Washington and Philly or Dallas or the Giants are in the mix, if it does come down to the stretch run, then that's going to be pretty exciting to have four games in the division, whether you're trying to make up ground or fend these teams off. All those division games always have meaning, and these could have extra because of the potential playoff ramifications.
You know, 2021, they finished with five consecutive division games. And they had, remember, they had that four-game winning streak. They upset Brady in Tampa at home. They beat Russ in Seattle on a Monday night. They beat the Raiders in Vegas. They were 500. They actually were playing pretty well. They were good defensively in 21, even better in 22. And then COVID hit after they lost to the Cowboys, and it was like Garrett Gilbert. Was that his name? Garrett Gilbert? I think, yeah, that's what his name was.
Yep.
And they had, you know, players out with COVID, and it didn't end up being that. Now, this year, the reason I don't like the Philadelphia situation could work out well for Washington. Although, if Philly has nothing to play for, that means Washington probably is playing for a wild card spot. But I'm that to me is a tough stretch, maybe not, but just is a weird stretch. I'm shocked that they didn't put the first Philly game at some point earlier in the season in prime time. That was the biggest surprise to me. But yeah, all right. That stretch you talked about too, that starts with Dallas. It actually starts with the Chargers. They go Chargers, then Monday night Chicago, short week into Dallas, KC, Seattle, Detroit, Madrid, and then they finally hit their bye week. Oh, one other thing, Ben, that I didn't point out as you were talking about various teams. You know, they play the quarterback draft of 2024. The only, after this year, the only quarterback that Jaden will not have faced off against is Drake May, New England, because they get Penix Jr., Bo Nix, Caleb Williams, and J.J. McCarthy this year in matchups against Jaden Daniels. So four out of five that he could face, because it was six, right? Six quarterbacks taken top 12. Yep.
No, for sure.
What's next, if anything? You calling regularly people, agents, on Trey Hendrickson?
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I've checked in enough. I mean, clearly at this point, it's just, you know, it's in the Bengals, and are they really not, are they going to be stubborn all the way, or is this their negotiating tactic? And, you know, even for Hendrickson, I mean, his salary is obviously, he's a very underpaid for the production that he's put up the last couple of years in particular. But, you know, it is still, you know, millions of dollars. You're going to, you know, sitting, here's the thing, right? Now, unless they've changed the rule this offseason, that teams can't eliminate the fines that players are going to get for missing, you know, training camp and things like that. So, like, at some point, they're going to have to make a call. Is it worth it to keep sitting out? I mean, if I'm the Bengals, I think I'm going to have to keep Hendrickson one way or the other at this point. Like, what's the point? You're going to trade him for future picks? Like, what's that doing for you? You're trying to win now. So, I think ultimately they probably figure something out would be my best guess. But as of now, there's no movement anywhere because the Bengals are, you know, as Hendrickson kind of said about his own situation, just, you know, there's nothing happening. And I think that goes in terms of the teams possibly looking to make a trade as well.
All right. I know that you're watching the NBA playoffs. Do you think the Knicks close out the Celtics tonight or not?
I mean, you know, I would think so. Here's the thing with Boston. Like, they have enough depth that, like, whereas for most teams, if you lose a player like Jason Tatum, you're pretty much, you know, toast, right? I mean, Golden State lost Steph Curry. I'm not comparing him to Tatum necessarily, but, you know, they lost him, and that was it for that series. The Celtics still have, you know, Jaylen Brown, right, was the finals MVP. Derek White is, you know, was on the Olympic team. Drew Holiday, he's been not really the Drew Holiday we've seen in the past so far in these playoffs, I would say, but okay, he's obviously a very formidable player, and we'll see where Kristaps Porzingis is with his illness that's kind of kept him limited the last few games. But they have enough talent to keep this going.
But
it's in New York. I mean, like, I didn't actually watch the last game, so I don't quite know if it was the Celtics were great or the Knicks just laid down because they were looking past it. But, you know, Jalen Brunson, I just don't see that. I don't see him losing in this game six in New York. So, you know, I think it's definitely possible that the Celtics win, but I'll go Knicks tonight to close it out.
And then do you give Denver a shot at OKC?
I do. I thought a key to the game yesterday, I mean, beyond just, you know, Jokic is great and Jamal Murray was really good, is, you know, it drives me absolutely crazy when coaches shrink their rotations to like six or maybe seven guys in the playoffs. These are NBA players. I get that some of them are not as good as, your starters, and some guys, you know, get deer in the headlights when you get to the postseason. But these are NBA players. You're making your whole team too tired for the stretch run when you're playing them 45 minutes a game. And I think that's kind of what happened to Denver in games four and five. They just looked exhausted by the time they got to the end, and then they fell apart. Yesterday, you know, Julian Strother not only play some good minutes, but contributes in a big way. Peyton Watson as well. They went eight deep. And then, sure enough, Jokic didn't even have to play the whole fourth quarter. And sure enough, Denver looked fresher down the stretch than OKC. So I just think, to me, if Denver can, you know, stay fresh, if they can stick to that rotation, I think they've got a real shot. And again, if you get to the end of the game, I like my chances with Jokic and Murray more than I would that younger OKC team. It's easy to say take the home team, and I certainly would probably if you made me pick. But yeah, I absolutely think Denver has a chance. The fascinating is you got the two guys who are the top two MVP candidates going head to head in a game seven. This is the kind of matchup that you live for. To have that type of scenario going, and I would love to see Jokic keep
the
going.
The vote's completed, is correct? I'm at.
Correct. That's, yeah, playoffs have nothing to do with this, right?
Yeah,
with that vote. Yeah.
Right. But whoever wins this seventh deciding game is going to be maybe remembered more so. Yeah, you know, it's interesting the point you make about the bench. They just don't have a very good bench. I love Strother and what he did last night. Westbrook is an absolute walking, you know, and running and sprinting time bomb. You know, he's going to make a great play on defense and kick up a lot of dust there. And then on the other end, he's going to think he's, you know, capable of going for 45. And he's going to shoot maybe the worst looking air ball from 4 feet that you've ever seen. Or he's going to clank it off the backboard so hard you're concerned about glass breaking. He is, I think, a net minus for them. And I think they got to be careful about playing him too much. On Sunday, he played great against the Clippers. I mean, it was otherworldly for him. You know, it was a throwback to many, many years ago. But he had three turnovers on three straight possessions at the end of the first quarter. He just can't slow his brain down, which then in turn means he can't slow his body down. And it works on defense. It does not work on offense in the postseason. It just doesn't.
There's no argument in general. I do think Westbrook he's impressed me with he has avoided as much hero ball as we have seen in the past. He does seem to recognize that Jokic is the guy and Jamal Murray. But my thing is, like, I think Michael Porter, who I think is a mental midget generally, now he's got this shoulder injury. He's a massive net negative. He's doing nothing for them
anywhere.
Well,
he was in Game 5. He killed him in Game 5. He had a couple of big threes last night that were important, and he was awesome in, Game 1? I think it was Game 1.
Yeah, I mean, he gets paid insane money to not just be good. He gets paid crazy money to not just be good every so often.
He crushed him.
So I think Westbrook almost – yeah. That's the thing. I think Westbrook almost has to play more because at least his energy is a real thing. And that's, again, the thing with like a Strother or a Peyton Watson. Like, they may be a better option than Porter late because at least if they can bring the energy, if they're not intimidated playing on the road, that may be more than Porter. And that's, again, what makes Denver so fascinating. They're doing all this despite no bench. I mean, Westbrook, okay, but like at best six guys, and then one of your starters is at best neutral, and to me he's a negative in Porter, and yet Jokic and Murray and Aaron Gordon have gotten this thing to a game seven. It's pretty impressive what they've been able to do against, you know, the deepest team and probably the most talented team head to toe in the league. That just the Thunder just don't have that, you know, veteran presence. And you know, we'll see. This is where they got knocked out in this round last year. We'll see if they can step it up.
Yeah, your point's a good one. Like, to me, they win Sunday if they get a combination of like 40 plus points from Gordon, Porter, you know, Brown or Strother, you know, something like that. Like, they've got to have, like, Strother and Christian Brown last night stepped up. They combined for, Strother had 15. What did Brown have? 23. So 38. You know, that was the difference really in the game. They've got to get that because you know you're going to get 30-plus from Jokic. You know you're going to get, you know, Murray's best. But they draw so much of the attention that the other guys have to knock down some of those shots. And it won't be Westbrook. I'd be shocked if it is. He's not afraid to take them, that's for sure. I mean, he really – he's something else, man. But at the same time, you know this too. He's beloved in that locker room. They love him. They love him everywhere he goes. I think people had the wrong impression of Westbrook for so many years that he may have been an issue. Maybe he was with Durant, but the locker room, everywhere he goes, falls in love with his work ethic and his leadership. All right, what else?
I don't think it's ever been his like personality that's been the rub. It's the he thinks it's terrible decision making at times, and that he thinks he can do it all. And I think that's what's driven teams crazy. It's why he's why it was insane when the Lakers traded for him. He's a terrible fit next to LeBron. We all knew that in real time, except for apparently the Lakers. Or LeBron, who I think wanted him. So, so he's a massive wild card. There is no doubt about it. But it should be a fun one. And these playoffs have been interesting. And I heard you say this before. Especially if Denver loses, this does feel like we've hit finally the changing of the guard. There's going to be no LeBron, no Steph, no Durant. None of the guys who've been the big stars. Recently, we're looking now, Indiana, the Knicks, who've been, out of the picture for years now. Minnesota was in this spot last year, but they're still an up-and-coming team. And OKC, so this does feel like a changing of the guard that's both good for the NBA and also scary because, we got to see if the population is willing to accept an NBA that is not focused on those guys that they've followed for the last 20 years.
Yeah, Jamal Murray's 28 and Jokic is 30. Denver, theoretically, with a better bench, should still be in the mix in the coming years. But you're right. And I don't know what would have happened had Steph stayed healthy. That series would still be going. I know that. Would they have beaten Minnesota? Who knows? But, yeah, if you end up with Oklahoma City and Indiana or Minnesota and Indiana in the NBA Finals, it is going to be the least watched NBA Finals or championship of any sport of all time. And yet it really will be a reflection of the changing of the guard. Because certainly the Western Conference champion is going to have a superstar on the team. And, you could argue that Halliburton is in that class as well for Indiana. All right, man. Thanks. Have a good show. We'll be listening 1-4 Ben Standing today right here on this station. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, man. I'll get my headset straightened out by then.
Yeah, work on that. All right. Want to go back to the Caps here, and I want to ask the following question of Caps fans at 301-230-0980. You had a season in which there were no expectations. The odds of Ovechkin breaking the record this year were less than 50-50. The chance that this team would be a playoff team, that was questionable heading into the season last October. They won 51 games. They ended up with the best record in the East. They ended up with the overall home ice advantage in the East, second best record in the entirety of the NHL. They won a series in 5 games over Montreal, the first series they've won since 2018, the year they won the Stanley Cup. And then they went out in 5 games against Carolina. I want you to describe it in these ways. Number one, major disappointment of a season because of the way it ended. Two, you're really not feeling it either way, that it was, it balanced out. You had a great regular season with Ovechkin, but a disappointing postseason, so you call it essentially benign even. And then lastly, you think, no, this was wildly successful. They overachieved based on initial expectations in every way. They won a playoff series for the first time. I can live with it. 301-230-0980. Where are you? Majorly disappointed with the season because of the early exit? Really don't feel it one way or the other? Or no, this was a very successful season because they overachieved at every turn and they won a playoff series for the first time in 7 years. 301-230-0980. Phone lines are open. Caps calls. Kevin Sheehan Show. The Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.